Lion Fest about the second paragraph. Anfei Chilul Hashem gam kein heim rabim uvidoilim. The branches of Chilul Hashem are also many and big. Important. Ki harbe tzorech ha'odom liyois chas al kivoyit koinoi. A person needs to be very careful about the covet of Rabbeinu Shel Olam. U'b'chol ma she'yase. And in everything that he does, tzorech she'yistak al v'yizboinen, he has to look and think ma'oid very carefully. She'lo yeitze mishom ma she'yuchal liyois chilul l'kovet shamayim chas v'shalom. That nothing should happen that would be a chilul of kovet shamayim. What does chilul mean? Wow. That's a great word. Cool. Where does the word come from? Oh, the word, what the shavish of the word is? What? Chalol.
Yeah, from Parsha.
What?
Parsha.
What's a chalol?
Chalol, Mahi Yor Chalol. It's from Parsha.
Of his servants, Shayalim Zeloze, they ask each other, Ayei Mekayim Kavoide, where is the place of his honor? Where is the place of Hashem's Kavod? And then the response is, Baruch Kavoid Hashem in Kaimai. And then we continue, Men Kaimai Yifem Barachamim, the Yochain Amam Yachadim Shemai, Erev Avoiker Bechol Yahim Tomet Amayim Biava Shema Avim. What's going on here? What's the conversation? Kavoida is Malay Olam. Hashem's Kavod fills the world. And his servants ask each other, Ayei Mekayim Kavoida, where is the place of his Kavod? What kind of a question is that we just said? Kavoida Malay Olam. Did that ever occur to you? We always sing it over here. We're always very involved and we sing it. Sometimes the pitfall of singing Kiddusha sometimes is that we're just like waiting to hear which tune the Chazan is going to pick the Kiddusha. And we forget that the idea of the song is to bring out the godless of the words of Kiddusha. There are words over here and they have a meaning. The singing is just to be mala that. It's not to replace the words.
Wouldn't a place signify that it's something that's like finite? Whereas they're asking, where there's no place that Hashem could be held in one place, it's all over. Hashem's coming is everywhere.
So what's the question?
It's like
we're saying the answer before the question?
No, we're just being that Hashem's coming fills the whole world. We're just saying, it can't find it. You can't put it in a box. You can't.
Because it's Malay Island.
Right.
So what's the question?
It's not a question. It's a statement.
Is Shayalim Zelos, that means a statement?
Okay, I think I'd like
we all have seen what's going on the earth. It's a me cover Shemayim. I think I even think Kvodi, where's the cover Shemayim?
Suzaki Yochanan. The Malachim is asking a kasha. Kvodi, Malay Olam, Hashem's covet fills the world. So Misharis of Shailim Zelos, if that's true, it doesn't seem to be true. If you look around the world, you'll see there's a lot of lack of Kavod Shemayim. There's a lot of Cholol, there's a lot of empty space that's not full of Hashem's Kavod. It's not Malay Olam. We say that Kavod fills the whole world, but there are a lot of places. Let's give it a mashal. Let's say inside a base of Avodah Zarah. Inside you have a room, a church, or whatever it is, a base of Avodah Zarah. Is that place full of Kavod Shemayim? No. it's full of the opposite of Kavod Shemayim, because it's the whole place is kofer in the existence of Hashem. That's not Kavod Shemayim. That's a place that's fully kofer in the existence of Hashem. So when you say Kvodei Mali Olam, it means except for those places. And if a Yid does an Aveira, so he represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he does an Aveira, at that moment, is there Kavod Shemayim? There's no Kavod Shemayim. So again, so how could you say Kvodei Mali Olam? So Adarabba, it's a question on what we just said. Kvodei Mali Olam, Hashem's Kavod fills the world. His servants ask each other, where is the place of his kavod? How could you say that kavod is malei olam? What's the answer to that question? What's the answer to the malachim's question? There's so much of the world seems to be missing kavod shemayim. The simple answer to that question is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, and he hallowed out the world. He made a cholol in the world. He hallowed out the world, and it's empty of Kavod Shemayim. The whole world is full of Kavod Shemayim. Kvodei Mali Olam. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a place in the world, and he made it appear, of course it's not true, but he made it appear as if there's no Kavod Shemayim in that place. And that place, the name of that place is Olam Hazeh. This world is a place where we don't see Kavod Shemayim. We have Teva hides Hashem. We have Ivrei Aveira. We have Rishayim. We have Tsaris and Yisurim. We have Rasha V'Tovloi, Tzadik V'Raloi. We have many areas that seem to be empty from Kavod Shemayim. So there's a world called Olam Hazeh, and in that world Hashem made an empty space, Kaviyachol, Ki'ilu. Look, it's an optical illusion. It looks like it's missing Kavod Shemayim. It's Cholol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Am Yisrael, created a Klal Yisrael, and he gave Klal Yisrael a job. That the job of Klal Yisrael was to fill that cholol with Kavod Shemayim. Fill the cholol of the world with Kavod Shemayim. To be mashlim Kvodei Malei Olam. To create the perfection of Kvodei Malei Olam. That's the job of Klal Yisrael. From Hashem's place, Yifen Barachim, and that's the Hemshech. The Yochain Am, and he should be generous, he should grant to the nation, HaMiyachadim Shemai, that HaMiyachadim announce Hashem's existence. Erev, Avoike, Bechol Yoim Tamid, constantly declaring Hashem's existence, even in Olam Hazeh, and that's when we continue with Shema Yisrael. That's the Hemshech. Hashem's Kavod fills the world. And a Malachim says, where is Hashem's Kavod? And the answer is that there's a Klal Yisrael. That's the answer. What's the answer? The answer is that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to create an Olam Hazeh is Gevaldi, because then it will be Kavod Malei Olam. But to create an Olam Hazeh where Hashem's presence is hidden, and that there should be an Am, there should be a nation in that world who's devoted to battling the natural tendency of that world and being megala the presence of Hashem, even in a world that's dark and mysterious and we don't see the Kavod Shemayim, even so to work hard to bring out the Kavod Shemayim in that world, that's the greatest Kavod Shemayim. Ultimately, that will be an even greater Kavod Shemayim. That will ultimately bring out an even greater Kvodei Malei Olam. So that means like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Klal Yisrael. There are 600,000 people, let's say, just to pick a number. There are more than that, but just 600,000 neshamas in Klal Yisrael. And every single person in Klal Yisrael has a certain job to reveal, to open up, to unlock a certain amount of Kavod Shemayim. And the kelim that he was given is the situation of his own life, the milus that he has, the chesroinus that he has, the challenges that he has, the difficulties that he has. Those are the kelim that he's given. And the shetach that he's given is his makom negiah, the place that he's able to affect on this world. Every person has a different area that he could affect on this world, his friends, his family, himself, deeper within himself and deeper within himself. A person has an area to affect. And a person's job is to reveal Kavod Shemayim in his world. And it's the tzirif of every single person in Klal Yisrael taking the kelim that they were given and revealing Kavod Shemayim in their world, is the sum total of that is Kvodei Malei Olam. If a Yid doesn't do his job, it leaves a cholol, and that's called a chilul Hashem. It leaves a cholol in Kavod Shemayim. It leaves an empty space. There's a place in the world that's not. There's a place in the world, whether it's in someone's heart or it's in someone's way of life or it's in someone's action. There's a place in the world that's missing Kavod Shemayim. Okay, let's read a little bit and we'll get back to it. We'll see what the halacha l'maaseh is. It's an interesting way to look at it, that a person's life is an empty vessel. And a person has to take his life, the totality of his life, and fill it with Kavod Shamayim. That's the short answer of what a person is supposed to fill his life doing. Fill your life with Kavod Shamayim. In every area of your life, in every tenua, in every thought, in every action, it's supposed to be being niskarif to that goal of bringing out Kavod Shamayim. How each person is supposed to do it, and what the level, and how it's Nagei Lamayim, so that we'll see as we go along. Okay, Zakhtim Zilz Yisharim. Ukvar Shaninu, and we already learned in the Mishnah, Echad Shoigeg ve'echad Meizig b'Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem, say someone who's a Shoigeg and someone who's a Meizig is guilty, is going to be punished, b'Chilul Hashem. Zilz Yisharim's purpose over here, bringing this Mishnah, is to show how important Chilul Hashem is. That usually there's a difference between a Shoigeg and a Meizig. But we find that by Chilul Hashem, Chazal or Madgish, a certain equality, that even the Shoigeg is guilty. Echad Shoigeg ve'echad Meizig b'Chilul Hashem. That even the Shoigeg is guilty.
Why does that work?
How does that work? So let's see the mission. Anyone who's mechal al shem shamayim privately, nifra'in mimenu begalui, he's punished in public. How you mechal shem shamayim privately? Isn't the whole point of chil Hashem a public thing? Well, that's what we'll see. Whether a person is a shaygig or a person is a mezid, he's guilty of chilul Hashem. There's a lot of different pshatim here, and there's a lot of arichas. I just want to read the Pharisee Yisrael's mahalach over here in this Mishnah. I think it's a very, very interesting, a very, very lamaisa. He says like this. He says there's two types of mechal Hashem. Let's get to what you mentioned. There's two types of mechal Hashem. Types of Chilul Hashem. One is like this. Before we understand the two types of Chilul Hashem, there's two types of Ivrei Aveira. There are people who do an Aveira out of Taiva, and there are people who do an Aveira out of Kfira, because they're kaifa the existence of Hashem. Someone who does an Aveira out of Taiva, obviously is a lot less Chilul Hashem than someone who does it out of Kfira. An Aveira out of Taiva is a loss to the battle of the Yetzirah. That's not as great a Chilul Hashem as someone who just announced that there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. That creates a much greater gap, a much greater Chilul Hashem. What? Sure, it's from the Yetzirah. It is from the Yetzirah. Every Aveira really is. You know, hang on with that, okay? Simple, I might have to wait till after to answer you 100%, but just to answer you 50%, at least on the shitchiistic level, someone who, let's say, has a taiva to do something, and does it because he has a taiva, he was nechshel in the chayt, he's not announcing, he himself b'shita, you ask and he'll say there's a rabbi nechshel, and he'll say he shouldn't have done that. But that's a much better situation than someone who, if you'll ask him, will say, I'm doing it because there is no Ribbono Shel Olam. Even though both of them are falling to the Eitz Hara, but at least this one is not a completely falling to the Eitz Hara. It's not a complete merida in Hashem. I'm not rebelling against Hashem. I know I shouldn't be doing this. It's hard for me. This is a big struggle for me. It's not a full rebellion. To announce that there's no Ribbono Shel Olam, that's to put it, let's say, that it's a much greater nitzachon on the Eitz Hara. So that's one type of Chilul Hashem. That's one type of Avera. Someone who does an Avera because he's grabbed by a taiva, so he does the Avera. Now, such a person, it depends. If he does it in private, it's a very minimal Chilul Hashem over here. Because nobody saw it. And he himself is not being mired in the existence of Hashem. He fell to his Yetzirah. But he's not being mired in the existence of Hashem. But if he'll do it in public, let's say he'll publicly do an Aveira, even if he's falling to his Yetzirah, that still creates a big Chilul Hashem. Because other people see him doing it, and it puts into other people's heads the idea, the vision, the sight of someone doing an Aveira. And that's, over there, there's a difference in Chilul Hashem. A person does it in public or a person does it in private. The way he says it is, someone who must do an Aveira, someone who feels like he doesn't have control and he must do an Aveira, at least he should care about the covenant of Hashem and do it privately. If he does it publicly, it shows a certain lack of caring of the covenant of Hashem. And of course, the greater the person is, the smaller the Aveira has to be for it to be a Chilul Hashem. That's the classic Chilul Hashem that we're familiar with. There's another type of Chilul Hashem, and that's someone who just doesn't care about Hashem. The person doesn't care about Hashem. He doesn't care that either he's married in Hashem or he denies the existence of Hashem, whatever the pratim are, but he doesn't care about Hashem. Such a person, it's a gevaldige Chilul Hashem, even in private. So let's understand. Someone who does an Aveira out of taiva, and he does it privately. So what he's saying is like this. He's saying, I did a terrible Aveira, but at least I care that the Rabbi Shalom shouldn't suffer from it. People shouldn't see an Aveira on the Ratzon of Hashem. So that's a certain level of being memayit in Chilul Hashem. It's not the greatest Chilul Hashem, because he did care enough about the covenant of Hashem to do it privately. Someone who's married, who denies the existence of Hashem, and he does an Aveira privately. Why did he do it privately? Did he do it privately because he's worried about the covenant of Hashem? No, he did it privately for whatever other cheshbon. He wants to look good, he wants people to think he's a tzaddik, he wants people to respect him, he wants to fit into society, whatever his other cheshbon is, ought to do it privately. A person who doesn't care about the existence of Hashem, when he does an Aveira privately, it's the same thing as doing it publicly. His doing it privately is not because he cares about Hashem. He's doing it privately because he cares about himself. You hear the difference? Prime, you hear the difference? So now that's what he says. He says that the Mishnah over here in Avos is talking about the second type. Avada, a regular person who does care about what Hashem feels, cares about what Hashem feels, Hashem's Ratzon, who does care to do the Ratzon Hashem, and he's Nichshal, and his Yetzirah grabs hold of him, so he does it privately so that the Rabbeinu Shloim and Kaviyach shouldn't suffer from his Avera. So Avada, such a person who does an Avera B'Seser, they're not Nifroim Imenu B'Goloi. Because the Shrevel doesn't punish him in public. He does an Aveira B'Seser because Rahul will punish him in private because it was a Milo that he did it privately. It was a Milo. He did it privately because he cares about Hashem. If I have to do the Aveira, at least Hashem shouldn't suffer from it, Kaviyachu. He cares about Hashem. That's why he did it privately. But someone who doesn't care about Hashem, and he just did the Aveira privately because he cares about himself, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Someone who's Mechal Shem Shemayim privately, Nifroim Imenu B'Goli, Hashem announces his Aveira in public. Hashem punishes him Barabim, that everyone should know about his Kishlein, that everyone should know about his Aveira, or his Yerida, or his bad Matzav, or his punishment. Because such a person didn't do it privately because he cares about the Rabbeinu Shalom. He did it privately because he cares about himself. That the Rabbeinu Shalom is Ma'anish Barabim. So on that, the Mishnah is Messiahim. Echad Shoigig v'echad Mezid v'chil Hashem. That whether you're a Shoigig or you're a Mezid, Yechai v'chil Hashem, because such a person, let's put it this way, someone who cares about the Rabbeinu Shalom's Ratzon, so that he does something b'mezid, it's a terrible thing. If he says something b'shoigig, it's not as bad. It was a shoigig, it's a mistake. But someone who does not care about the existence of Hashem, so there's really no difference for him between a shoigig and a mezid. If he had thought of doing telling you b'mezid, he would have done it b'mezid. It happened to be that it came out b'shagig. If he would have known it was usr, he would have done it anyway. If he would have known it would lead to the usr, he would do it anyway. A person who doesn't care about Hashem, Rahman al-Islam, to him it doesn't make a difference if it's a shagig or a mezid. It happened to be a shagig this time. It's not that b'mezid, he would have never been nichshol, he was nichshol in a shagig. No, it happened to turn out to be a shagig this time. Someone who's a mechal Shabbos b'parhesia, and he doesn't know something's usr. So it happens to me that he didn't know it was usr, but if he knew it was usr, would he do it anyway? He would do it anyway. So then he doesn't get the milah of, oh, it was only a shaykh. Then everything, every aver that he does, it gets punished as if it's amazing. That's what the Torah Yisrael says. Because it doesn't help that it was a shaykh. It's not like, oh, if it was amazing, I would have never done it. It was a shaykh, so I didn't realize that it was Shabbos. I didn't realize that I was doing an isra. I didn't know so much. I didn't realize it would lead to an isra. So it's not so bad. Because even if you did realize, you would have done it. So that's what it says. Someone who's mechal shayim shemayim the seiser, a person who doesn't care about the Rabbeinu Shalom, so nefram menu begaloi, because he only was caring about himself. That's why he did it privately. So Hashem punishes him begaloi. And this same person is echad shaygeg ve'echad mezid v'chilal Hashem. It's a beautiful pshat in the Mishnah that for such a person, the shaygeg and the mezid is equal. V'chilal Hashem. You look it up in this verse as well. The beautiful pshat in the Mishnah.
It doesn't so well with the Sharm, because the Sharm we're holding right in Yekiyah, so we're also not as we're talking about somebody who's like not a Shalom, but an officer here.
Yeah, that's true. It could be that the only Sefer Sharm wants to bring out is that there's a certain, I'll give you a mashal from the Gemara Second Seder. At the Gemara Second Seder, we said that a Grusha is of more chamer d'geisa than an Almana, even for a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, he's not allowed to marry a Grusha. A Grusha is more chamer than an Almana. Why is a Grusha more chamer than an Almana? Because since a Kohen Hediot is allowed to marry an Almana, and he's not allowed to marry a Grusha, so therefore even a Kohen Gadol who's not allowed to marry either, a Grusha is worse. So sometimes you see that by another situation where there's a chaymer of this Avera, shows me that the whole Avera is a more chaymer than Avera. Since a Kohen Hediot would be chayav for Grusha and not an Almana, so even for a Kohen Gadol, a Grusha is worse than an Almana. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara brings a few examples of that.
Right.
So same thing over here. Of course, we're talking about Nikias over here. We're talking about someone who's not doing it Lahediot. But Chilul Hashem is the type of Isser that we could be in a situation of Echad Shagig and Echad Mezid. So it just shows the chaymer of Chilul Hashem. Let's read a little bit weiter. I want to. The Amr Zechayin and Levrachin Chazal say, "Hey, Chidami Chilul Hashem. What's the case of Chilul Hashem? Amar Rav Kigoyin Ano." He says, like myself, if I would take meat from the shaykhit and I wouldn't give money right away, if I would take my time pulling out my money, and the shaykhit might have a chance to think, oh, he's not going to pay me, or he's going to think of some excuse, or you know, some kind of bad thing about his money practices, that would be a chilul Hashem, which is a fine dakas dika madrega of chilul Hashem, because on such a big time a tzacham has to be much more machmer about Chilul Hashem than a regular person. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kigoyin Ano, for myself, demazgino arba amos b'loy tayru b'loy tefillin. If I'll go 4 amos without tayru and without tefillin, that would be Chilul Hashem. So that's also kafi madrigase, that would be a Chilul Hashem. Okay, so let me just read a few more lines. We'll get back to explain what this means. V'ha inyan, and this means, like Mesil Zishar, shekol adam lefi madrigase, that each person according to his madrega, ulefi mashehu nechshav ve'enei hador, and according to the way he's considered, his value, his chashivas in the eyes of his generation. This is an interesting. We'll get back to this in a minute. Tzarech sheyizbayin, he has to think. Levilti asa isdavar, not to do anything. Bilti hogun leish kamoisei, it's not appropriate for a person like him. Ki kefi revois chashivusei v'chachmasei, according to the amount of his chashivus and his chachma, kein roi sheyarbe zihirusei v'divrei ho'avoida v'dikdukai bay. So too, he has to increase his zihirus and avoidus Hashem and his dikduk b'mitzvus. Ve'im einenu oisekein, and if he doesn't do this, harei shem shamayim mischalo boi chas v'shalom. Then shem shamayim is mischalo boi. The next few lines of Mesil Shem, I want to wait until tomorrow. I just want to go back to explain what this means. It's a delicate thing to talk about, but I want to bring it up anyway. It's a sakana to talk about, but it's a bigger sakana not to talk about. is a mistake, a little bit of a misconception in our dar, and how we're mesiachus our avodas Hashem, and it's very, very much to do with this Mesillas Yesharim. We think it has a little bit to do with the fact that we grow up in a yeshiva system, so we have one Rebbe for 30 guys or for 60 guys sometimes, and there's one shita for everybody, and everyone's given the same chinuch, and not necessarily is each person supposed to receive the same chinuch as the next person. Each person is different, and you know, optimally we would imagine that it would be much more wonderful if each bacher would have his own Rebbe, would have his own attention, his own mahalach, his own ability to, in his own way, with his own uniqueness, to be miskasha to Rabbeim that know him. But the way that it comes out in our dar is that we all go to yeshiva starting first grade, and we're told that we have to become a certain madrega. We're told stories, gedolim stories, and we read art scroll books, and we hear unbelievable madregas, and we're told that we have to be a certain madrega. And the general mahalach of what happens, and this is a tremendous tragedy, is that everyone grows up thinking that I am supposed to be a certain gewaldige, godlustige madrega. And at a certain point, the way people say it over, reality hits. And they realize that they're just not going to do that. So then they settle down to their own madrega. That's the way that chinuch happens very often in our generation. So what ends up happening is like this. There's a lot of problems that come out of it, but one of the things that ends up happening is that many people, if not most people, feel like their life is be'etzem and b'di'evit. Be'etzem, they didn't live up to their full potential. Be'etzem, they're not living the life that they should have lived. Be'etzem, they're not accomplishing what they should accomplish. Really, they should be living a completely different life. But, you know, what can they do? Reality hits. I messed up. And they live their life on the madrega that they find themselves. That's a pathetic, sad, heartbreaking situation. That means that Rabbim and Bnei Yisrael grow up, live through their lives, not feeling like they're really being Oved Hashem. And what that creates is a lack of energy. It saps energy. People don't have the energy to serve Hashem with their full kaitos because they feel like anyway they messed up. Anyway they're not living the way they should live. Anyway they're not filling those goals of years ago. Anyway they're not on the level that their Rabbeim demanded of them. And therefore they push it, don't have the energy for it. I should work so hard for what? Anyway I'm not Misugal. I'm not able to accomplish my full madrega. This is there are other branches up from this problem, but just from this problem alone, it's a terrible thing. People can live a life of disappointment. Okay, we live a happy life, and we push the disappointment aside, and we decide, okay, Avodas Hashem is not for us, at least we'll be rich, and have a nice family, and live in a big house, at least that much. You know, we push the Avodas Hashem aside, you know, eventually. At some point we grow up, and, you know, we look at younger Bachram, and we see, yeah, alright, they still have this dream, eventually reality will hit them also, you know, I already reality hit me, I realize, you know, leave it for the Gedolim, they'll serve Hashem, I'm going to try to make it in this world. And it's such an attitude, and you sense the attitude when you go out into the world, you spend time with the Hamoim of Klal Yisrael, you feel this attitude. Like this kind of like, you know, alright, they try to do a good thing, they try to listen to a shir, try to do a mitzvah, but the idea that I am the epitome of Kavod Shamayim, that you don't find. You walk into a bar park, walk into an office where there's 30 employees, all from people, and you don't feel this avira, this atmosphere of each person feeling like he epitomizes Kavod Shamayim. It leads to people stealing. Anyway, they're not fulfilling their potential. So they also stole. So it leads to lying, it leads to lack of zahiras, it leads to all kinds of problems, because anyway, I'm not a lechat chila. Now, Rabbeim, when they talk about this, they have a very big problem. They don't want to say, oh, don't worry, for you, you know, your role in Avodas Hashem is to do such and such and such. Because every Rebbe feels this tremendous thing, like, what if he lowers someone's standards in Avodas Hashem? What if I am talking to the future, you know, Ramosha Feinstein, and I'll tell him, you know, why don't you go to college and become an eye doctor? And I'll go up to Shemayim and they'll say, you just killed Ramosha Feinstein. So every Rebbe pushes every talent to become Ramosha Feinstein. But sometimes we kill people the other way. Because then the person lives a life disappointed. That's also tremendous sakana. So it's important, and this, the Yetzer Hara could creep into this discussion so easily. Because my laziness or my lack of initiative, my lack of drive, it's so easy for me to say, you know something? maybe I'll just settle for two mesechtes. Why should I learn the whole Shas? You know, there's something trying to say, but I'm still see Sharm. Not everyone's supposed to be a Moshe Feinstein. So I'll just look. Two mesechtes, that's also good. It's so easy to let the Yetzirah in on this one. And this is a very, very, very delicate, very, 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 very delicate thing that a person has to learn and through constantly with our Musar, and constantly with our Torah, and constantly being honest with himself. A person has to learn to recognize his real, true koiches, and to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him clues to what his tafkid is in the Bria. We don't have Nevi'im anymore that tell us what our tafkid is, but there are clues to what our tafkid is, and those clues are our personality, our koiches, our abilities, our talents, our chesroinus, and our background. All of that are our clues to how we're supposed to be serving Hashem. As if a Navi would tell us, you should be doing this, a Navi would tell you should be a shoemaker, you should be a Rebbe, you should be a dentist. The Navi would be able to say that, you should spend this much time on the tzibur, and this much time on your family, and this much time. That's what a Navi would say that. Now we have to be our own Nevi'im, and search deep inside ourselves, and learn to understand ourselves well enough that we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to live this life. Even though we all grew up in the same yeshiva with the same Rebbe in the front of the classroom telling us the same stories, but it's not realistic to think that 30 people are supposed to be the same person. Each person has his own calling, his own makim in Avodas Hashem. And what this does is, this is not to let a person off the hook, Adarabba. This is to make a person realize that there's no such a thing that reality here, that now I have to settle for a certain madrega. A person has to find what his makim is in his bria. And whatever that makim is in his bria, that's shekol adam lefi madregasa yu lefi shehu nechsha be'enei adar. He has to bring out the full kavod shemayim of kvodei malei olam. So if a person decides that his makam in this world is to be an investment banker, so then it's a big mistake for him to walk around feeling like, really, I should have been a mismanager the whole day, and I messed up, I'm an investment banker. That means that he's not going to walk into his office in the morning thinking about, how am I honoring Hashem today? That means when he's filling out his tax return, he's not going to think about, how am I being mekad Hashem Shemayim today? When a co-worker calls him, when he has a situation of possible of yichud, or a situation possible of gneva, or a situation of lashon hara, or a situation of doing chesed with another yid, he's not going to have on his head this burning drive to be mamali yistavke, to be mamali kavod Shemayim, because he feels like he messed up already. But a person who can be honest with himself and be kaveya his madrega, the way he's honestly supposed to be, so that person walks into a college class not feeling like, I messed up, my rabbi told me not to go to college, and here I am. A person doesn't feel that way. A person walks in feeling like, I'm here as a messenger of the Rebbe Hashem to spread the Dvar Hashem. It's my job to be a dmus diyuknai of a tzelem elikim. I'm here to, everyone should look at me, should say, oh, that's a tzelem elikim. That's a ben Torah. That's a ben Aliyah. That's my job in this world. And it's much, much, much more charged up, much more focused, a much more real Avodas Hashem. Every person who doesn't manage to become Rav Moshe Feinstein is not a disappointment to the Yiddishkeit. If every person, if someone Chas V'Shalom would be born with four heads, so that would be considered a chisara, not a maila. Klal Yisrael has its heads, it also has its hands and its arms and its stomach and its feet. There's very different, many, many parts to this gewaldige gavra called Klal Yisrael. A person has to find and define in himself and realize what his makim is and figure out how Lima HaTorah has to do with that makim. There's not a single man in Klal Yisrael who's parted from Talmud Torah, who's parted from Yedias HaShas. There's not a single person, you know, at least over here, there's not a single person who can't juggle a career together with a career of learning Hashem's Torah and knowing it, constantly chazering, growing, becoming a Talmud Chacham. We live, Rachmana Litzlan, we live in a society that thinks that someone who's working can't be a Talmud Chacham. That's a Chilul Hashem. Someone who's working could be a Talmud Chacham. We live in a society that thinks that someone who's working, he's already finished. You know, I have a very close chaver I was in Kailu with in Flatbush, and I met him this Shabbos, and he went out to work, this Elul. And I was talking to him, I said, so are you still many shaykhs to the Kailu? He said, of course, I'm there for night, Seder, and for Sunday. I got such a warm feeling. That's Kavod Shamayim. He went out to support his family, but he's still not washing his car on Sunday. He's still not watching a football game on Sunday. Sunday is the Beis Medrash. That's Kavod Shamayim. That's someone who realizes that his role in this world is to be Mechabed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. K'vaydei Malei Olam. Not to leave any chalal reik. That person who spent Sunday in the Beis Medrash is going to go in Monday, and he's not going to cheat. He's not going to lie. He's not going to be make blurry the lines of tznius. He's not going to talk lashon hara. He's charged up. He's a lechatchila in the world of Torah, not a b'di'evet. It's a very, very negative thing, and it's a very, very big chilul Hashem that we live our lives as b'di'evets. We're not b'di'evets. We have to find our makom, which part of Klal Yisrael we belong in, and in that makom we have to infuse it with Torah, with Yira, with Kiyam HaMitzvahs, with Zahirus, with the Gansa Mesil Tisharim. The Balei Musar who taught us how to learn Musar were career people. The Alter from Keln was a businessman. The Alter's relatives who took over the yeshiva after him were wealthy businessmen. And they spent hours upon hours teaching themselves the heights of Yerushalayim. Halavai, today's Rosh Hashivas should be able to be like those Balei Musar. And I'm not saying something that today's Rosh Hashivas would disagree with. I'm saying something that today's Rosh Hashivas agree with. I'm not being a renegade over here. Every Rosh Hashiva today wishes he could be like the Mishpacha of the Alter from Keln, who were businessmen, and learn that amount of Torah, and have that amount of Yiras Shamayim. It's not a stira at all to find your makom in Klal Yisrael and to infuse it with the fullest gadlus. A person can be an eye doctor and he could be the biggest gadol. He could be the reason why there is a future to Klal Yisrael. Gadlus. There's no such a thing that a person decides that his future is not to spend full time in the Beis Medrash and therefore he's not going to be a gadol. A gadol is someone who maximizes his potential. That's a gadol. A gadol is someone who maximizes his angle, his ria. A person who's sitting in Beis Medrash the whole day can't bring Yiras Shamayim to Wall Street. But someone who works on Wall Street can bring Yiras Shamayim to Wall Street. There's different jobs to different people in Klal Yisrael. K'vaydei Malei Olam is if each person in Klal Yisrael is Mamala, his tafkid, according to the way he realizes from learning constant Musar, from being in touch with his Rabbein, being truthful with himself, and to bring out that full potential with the full extent of Yiras Shamayim and never to sell for b'di'evet, to remain till his dying day, to remain at l'chatchila in Avodas Hashem. We're in the middle of talking about Chilul Hashem. The Ha'inyan, Shekol Adam Lufi Madregasa Yu Lufi Mashu Nechsha Be'enei Hador, that every person according to his Madrega, and according to what the generation considers him, in other words, even if he's not on that Madrega, but if the generation considers him to be on that Madrega. Sarach Sheyizvayinayin, he has to think carefully. Lovilti asayz davar bilti hagun leishka moisay. Not to do something that's not appropriate for a person like him. Ki kefi roiv chashivusay v'chachmasay. According to the amount of his chashivos and his chachma, kein roi sheyarba zihirusay v'divrei ha'avoyda v'dikdukay ba. It's appropriate that according to that level, according to that amount, he should increase his zihirus and divrei avoida and his care in being mekayim divrei avoida. The im einanu oisakein, and if he doesn't do that, hare shem shamayim is chalal boy, zechilu Hashem chas v'shalom, ki kavoid hatoyrehu. And these are the key words over here. Ki kavoid hatoyrehu, it's a kavod hatoyrehu. Shemi shemarbe halimud bo, that someone who learns a lot of Torah, yarbe kemoikein, he should also increase accordingly, biyosher in yashrus, ubetikon hamidus, and in the fineness of his midas. And anything that's missing from this, for someone who's marbe belimud, it causes a bizoyin to the etzem limud. It's an embarrassment. It's a busha to the limud ha-Torah. Shanasa Lano is Tirosa Yakidosha, Vitsivanu Lasik Bala Hasig Al Yoda Shlei Musaidim. Like the Shvaru gave us his Heilige Torah, and he commanded us to involve ourselves in it for the purpose. Lahasig is very, very important. The purpose of Limud HaTorah is Lahasig Al Yoda Shlei Musaidim, that through Limud HaTorah we should reach our own Shleimus.
What's Lahasig mean?
Means to achieve. This is a very important yisoid. We spoke about this a little bit before. It's an interesting thing that Mesillas Yesharim here is talking about Chilul Hashem, but the main focus of his discussion of Chilul Hashem is about Lomdei Torah more than anything else. And the pashtus, the reason is because Torah is the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'arayis achad. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, and the purpose of giving the Torah is that the Torah is supposed to affect the person. If the Torah does not affect the person, that's a bizayin for the Torah. Ki'il HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him such a special commodity, and he didn't use it properly.
Someone learns does not meet us, then
it's a chilul Hashem.
When he's laughing?
It doesn't say that. It's a chilul Hashem. Okay, so now we have to ask ourselves a question. How is it possible to have such a thing? If the purpose of Matan Torah is so that through Limud HaTorah we should be able to reach our Shleimus, that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. So how is it possible that you could find that a person would be marbe b'Limud HaTorah and he would not have good midas, that he could be in a situation of this Chilul Hashem? So we know that it's not so pashut. This that Torah affects a person, it's not just the learning the actual words of Torah. The way that he learns the Torah, his attitude towards Limud HaTorah also makes a difference. L'mashal, it says, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of Chachma is Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim, the Nefesh HaChaim brings a medrash. Yiras Shamayim is like the gate to the chatzar in which the bias is in. And you can have the keys to the house, but if you don't have the keys to the chatzar, then you can't get into the house. If you don't have the keys to the courtyard, you can't get into the house. That's Yiras Shamayim. They say over. If you look, every single Gemara starts with the Daf Beis. Every Gemara starts with the Daf Beis. Ali Davaru, most books start with page 1. But every Gemara in Shas starts with page 2. So what's page 1? Where's page 1? So they say that the Sharblat is page 1. Where it says, this over here, this Gemara says, Masechta Avodah Zarah in Talmud Bavli, the Shar, or the picture that we're accustomed to, of Taka of the Shar, going into the Gemara, that's Daf Aleph. What is that teaching us? What is that teaching us? In most books, the prologue and the table of contents are not part of the numbers of the book. Right, that's the Roman numerals. The book starts at page 1. But they say it's to show us that the first daf of the Masechta is not the first daf of the Masechta. The first daf of the Masechta is your attitude when you come into the Masechta. You're coming into the Masechta with. Daf Aleph is the Shar of Yiras Shamayim. Meaning like this. We're not learning Torah just because it's a good deed, or because it's an intelligent thing, or any of the other smaller reasons why people would pursue other chachmas. We have to learn Torah with the recognition that Torah is be'emet on such a high madrega, and such an esoteric, high kedusha dika, tahara dika, limud,
that it's almost a nest that we're able to grasp words of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdo, in his great chesed and his great anivus, brought the Divrei Torah down to our level, that it discusses things in our lowly world, right? It discusses marrying an Isha, or being Kaina and Eved, and so on and so forth. It discusses things that are in our world, and through that we're able to latch on, through these Pashta Haifa of Divrei Torah, we're able to learn the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which each limud that we learn is just like the bottom level of that limud HaTorah, like we talked about yesterday, that every Masechta and every Omed Gemara and every Shita and every Havamina and every Maskana and every Pasuk that the Gemara brings goes deeper and deeper, and every Olam, you know, the world is comprised of many levels up until the Kisei Yaakov, and at every level the Torah has its own, you know, it's Nageya Lamashal. In Shemayim there's no Inyan of being Kainan and Isha, but the concepts of the Kinyan of an Isha are Nageya for whatever they're Nageya for in Shemayim, and then even higher than that, those concepts are Nageya even higher than that. Or when the Gemara in Chulin talks about if there's a din of Shiluach HaKan, when a nest forms on the head of a person, that may seem a little bit odd in our world, but we still learn it v'nageya to the world around us, and somehow we're touching very, very high concepts in higher worlds. We don't even know what we're touching, the Nefesh HaChaim teaches us. And an incredible chiddush, the Nefesh HaChaim says, that when we learn Torah on this relatively mundane level, how should we make matzah? You know, now we're shleishim yom kodem achag. And 18 minutes, and bedikas chametz, and if you rent the house, and what if you're not going to be home on Erev Yontif, and all the different dinim that we're going to learn about Pesach, which is mundane affairs in this world, or even more quote unquote mundane. You know, Amaytzi Mechaveri Olav Araya, and Shudin Dedaini, and Chazkas Karka, and all the halachas of Chesh Mishpat, and how to write a contract, and so on and so forth. All these dinim, there are just, you know, ways that we operate in this world. And Nefesh HaChaim says we get the full schar and the full kedusha and the full madrega as if we were learning these words in their most heligat mitsharashim, the way they are by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an incredible chiddush. So when we sit down and we open up our Gemara and we sit down to learn, a shiver has to come over us. It's not enough to learn Torah just because, you know, because it's an interesting chachma, because I want to know it, or just out of habit, which is, you know, the worst thing, just out of habit. It's not enough to learn Torah that way. Torah doesn't have its school, it doesn't have its strength as much. It's not as powerful when we learn it without appreciating what it is. It's when we open the Gemara and we realize, Baruch Hashem, that was zeichah to learn Torah, that we don't lean back to spread while drinking a big gulp and we make it like as if we're on vacation, and if we have a couple of minutes, we learn another few lines Gemara. We don't learn that way. We learn like it's a serious thing, and we're devoted, and we're glued to the Gemara, and it's chashuv to us every word. When we learn that way, then the Torah unleashes its full power. But if we learn it without appreciating the power that it possesses, then it's harder for us to access that kayak, that madrega. It's a very, very important thing. When someone sits down to learn, they sit down to learn with the right attitude. What we're coming to do now? We're coming to learn the Torah of Hashem. It's a nest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malamei Torah La'ama Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Torah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want, it wouldn't be possible for us to grasp a word of Torah. Such a halakha thing, the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really beyond our comprehension. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we can understand the word of Torah is an unbelievable chesed. So that's one reason why it would be possible to find someone who may have learned a lot of Torah, but without the chashivus of what the Torah represents, so then you can't expect that it would affect his midas. Then there's something else. And this leads us to understand a little bit about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Alter from Kelm, about what they wanted from us. With Musar and the Musar Starim that started, and the whole Musar in Yeshivas, where this all started from. When a person is healthy, so many times the person that's healthy will try to eat right and try to take proper vitamins to be able to maintain his health. and he doesn't take specific medication for specific illnesses because he's not ill. He takes broad vitamins that he tries to cover, proteins and carbohydrates and different types of fruits and vegetables and water and the whole spectrum of healthy foods to keep his body healthy so that he shouldn't get sick. If a person is sick, he needs specific medication. In Dairis before us, it was possible that through just Limud HaTorah, just through learning Gemara, it's like a multivitamin, just through learning Torah, without taking a specific doses of specific types of Torah, just by learning the regular Gemara, we were able to be zeicher to keep ourselves healthy in Ruchnius. Our neshamas reacted to it, our hearts opened, and we were able to stay dedicated and devoted to the Rabbanei Shalom through the chizuk that the regular Sedarim, Tmidim Kilchasim, the regular Sedarim provided. There are diyukim from a letter from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I'm not going to go into now, where you see from that letter that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter held that changed. That over the years, Niskanu Hadairis, and the distractions in the world, and the smallness of our minds and hearts, and the outside influences became stronger, and now we're more in the gather of a person who's not well than a person that's well. And a person who's not well, it's not enough for him to take a multivitamin. Some guys who says he's sick and he's taking a multivitamin to get better, they tell him he's a shaita. If he's sick, he has to take medication that deals with the nature of his illness. That's where Limud HaMusar comes in. That's where learning Musar comes in. Learning Musar is specific divrei Torah, like a specific medication. It's specific divrei Torah designed to break open and to penetrate the thick covering over our heart. To penetrate our heart. That's what Musar is. This is something that maybe in Dairis that were before us, they were able to accomplish by learning a difficult sugya in Avadim, or by learning Mana Enkan, Mashkin Enkan. It could be that the Kayach HaTorah, their hearts were soft enough that that Kayach HaTorah of learning the Machlekes, the Rashba, Rashba and the Ramban. The Rashba and the Rush. Of learning the Machlekes, the Rashba and the Rush, that would be a healthy enough thing that would open their hearts and it would be connecting with the Torah and with the Nice and HaTorah and so on. That was those days. But nowadays our hearts are not. Torah is Poseach Lelev. Who Yiftach Libeinu B'Sayrasa? You realize who Yiftach Libeinu B'Sayrasa, people understand to mean, should open our hearts to understand the Torah. And put in our hearts his Ava and his Yira. But if that were the only pshat, it should say that he should put in our hearts Torah, Ava, and Yira. You see from the Lashon, it's who Yiftach Libeinu B'Sayrasa. He should open our hearts with his Torah. And now that our heart is open, now that we use the key called Torah to open our hearts, who Yiftach Libeinu B'Sayrasa, that's the key. Now that I opened my heart with the Torah, V'yasein B'Libeinu, Ahavosei V'yirosei V'laseis Ritzayim Ayulav Le'Belev Shalem. That's after I opened my heart with what? With the Mafteach of my heart, which is the Torah. We need a finer Mafteach than just the broad multivitamin called the Torah. And that's Divrei Musar. Musar that are designed, the Kayach of Musar is designed to be Ma'ir and Poseach and to break open and to penetrate and to bring alive again hearts that are stone. To soften up stone hearts. And that's a very, 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 very hard thing. Okay, we've discussed, I've looked for every opportunity and every excuse over the last few months to bring in the different concepts of the basics of what Musar is all about. And I'm going to discuss one more concept today. you know, in the with the Hesiris of this Mesilas Yesharim, that tells us straight out that the purpose of learning Torah is that it should straighten out our midas. That's the tachlis of learning Torah, and with the understanding that the Balei Musar felt that it wasn't enough just to learn Shnayim Oichsim Betalas, but in addition to that, of course, there's no substitute for that, but that in addition to that, we need a mafteach to open our hearts that we can put all this Torah into, and that's Limud HaMusar. With that Hesiris, I want to discuss another aspect. I'm not giving it a full treatment, Musar, now. We've talked over the last few months, different times, about different aspects of Musar. I want to talk about another aspect of Musar. There's a concept in Musar that Rabbi Ruchan calls, I think he calls it Ha'avaras HaKolmas or something like that. Writing over with the pen. The idea is that, we'll look at Rabbi Akiva's Rak for a mashal, that Rabbi Akiva was nis'ar to do tshuva when he saw water dripping on a rock. And the water over many, many years of dripping, drip, drip, drip on the rock, the water over many years penetrated the rock and made a hole in the rock and was going through a hole in the rock. And Rabbi Akiva was nispel that water which is so soft, he says, if water which is soft could make a hole in a stone which is hard, kal v'chaim in the Torah which is hard can make a hole in my heart which is soft. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Okay, that was Rabbi Akiva's heart that was soft. But the idea over here is that there's such a thing inside of a person that rishamim, impressions, are mitzdaver, they gather up. Rishamim, impressions that are impressed upon a person, gather up inside of him and eventually affect him. In other words, a person could learn something again and again and again and again, and the constant chazara of the same concepts again and again creates that each time he learned a certain concept, subconsciously, deep inside him, it was molding him a little bit. It was another drip of water on the stone. And each one by itself is nothing. But if a person consistently drips water on his heart, if he consistently has certain types of impressions on himself, eventually over time they will mold him to have certain ideals and certain midas and certain appreciations and sensitivities that each one alone may not have had the power to do, but kol pruta pruta mitzarefes, each little roshim is mitzaref and eventually creates that surah that he was trying to create. So many times a person could learn musar for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, maybe 5 years, and feel like it's not making a difference. And it's all of lodas. A person has to know that he has to continue consistently learning musar. Continue consistently learning musar. And the reason that he has to continue consistently is because it's the consistent dripping of the water. Even if each time it doesn't feel like it's making a difference, but continuously and consistently, he teaches himself certain values, even if the first time he didn't feel like it affected him. L'mashal, let's say a person has a hard time not speaking Lashon Hara. So he sits down and he learns a whole Indian from the Chafetz Chaim, a whole Indian about how important it is not to speak Lashon Hara. And it's very, very ma'orim. And then that night he goes back to the dorm and he speaks Lashon Hara. He says, I see it didn't affect me. And the next day he sits down and again he learns Lashon Hara. And then again he goes back to the dorm that night and he speaks Lashon Hara. I guess it didn't affect me. Okay, forget it. Musar doesn't work for me. And that's a big mistake. Even though you see that it's not affecting you. Even though it's not affecting you. But each time that you open up that Sefer Chofetz Chaim and that you see in black and white, Lashon Hara is Asr. Speaking badly about someone is Asr. It's a terrible thing. It's terrible chazal. The schar of someone who keeps his mouth closed is infinite. The great schar, the toiv, the gedula that awaits someone who keeps his mouth shut. And if over time he keeps drilling it in, if he learns his little bit of Chavetz Chaim every day, or his little bit of Mesillas Yesharim every day, his little bit of Musar every day, in whatever area it is, over time, sometimes it takes years, over time it will penetrate and become part of him to the point that it will break the surface and it will affect his day-to-day actions. That's a big, tremendous concept in Musar. That's why the Bali Musar always said that when someone learns the Maamar Chazal, that wakes him up, that he feels like it's speaking to him, that's Ma'ayur him, he should sit down and he should say it again and again and again and again and again and try to suck out every single bit of taste that he could out of that Maamar Chazal, and again the next day, until he mamish, you know, until he feels that he mamish was like absorbed this Maamar Chazal and it became part of him. And if he continues to do this with different ideas over the years, they'll begin to have an impression on him slowly but surely. We have a lot of obstructions to break through. But this is one of the tricks that the Bali Musar taught us, that eventually over time we could break through and actually have an effect on ourselves in areas that we wouldn't have thought possible for ourselves to change.
We really do that.